Aren't you glad you serve a mighty God? I always liked that chorus we used to sing some, and I'm not going to lead you in that chorus tonight because you leave too quick. What a mighty God we serve. That's a wonderful chorus. Praise God. God is on the throne. I told the wife as we were leaving the house tonight, as we started out the door, I said, come on, let's go to the house of the Lord. Brother Durham said he's going to be there, but he can't talk very well, so let's get on over there and let's punish the saints. So here we are tonight. But God is good to us. But I want to read you a couple of verses of scripture, one from the psalmist and then one follow-up scripture from the writings of 1 Corinthians. I want to first go to Psalms chapter 11, and I'm reading from the New King James, but we're going to read the first three verses here. In the Lord I put my trust. How can you say to my soul, flee as a bird to your mountain? For look, the wicked bend their bow to make ready their arrow on the string, that they may shoot secretly at the upright in the heart. If the foundations are destroyed, what can the righteous do? That's an interesting question. If the foundations are destroyed, what can the righteous do? But I think the Apostle Paul gives us the answer to that over in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 11. He says, for no other fountain can anyone lay than that which is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Now, have you ever been confronted with a crisis in your life that threatened to absolutely destroy you, or perhaps destroy your family, or destroy something that was dear to you? And if you were in that crisis, in the midst of it, did your friends ever say to you, quit, just give up, just run away, you can't win? David, you know, faced such a situation because after he killed Goliath, he became a hero. And everywhere he went, people began to exalt him. And they began to say what a wonderful individual this man was. They began to praise him more than they did Saul. And I'll tell you, I've been around preachers and pastors enough and worked with them enough. I know one thing, if they think that you're stepping on their territory and you're beginning to take some of their glory, you're in trouble. And so you have to be careful. And so Saul got awful jealous over the adoration and the cheering that was coming to David. And he became jealous, and upon one occasion, you remember, as David was taking his harp and beginning to play to kind of soothe the nerves of Saul, he took that javelin and he threw it at David and tried to kill him. And David just said, because when that happened, he said, in thee, Lord, I put my trust. There were some of his friends were saying, run, get out of here. But he just simply said, I'm going to stay here because in thee, Lord, I put my trust. And America tonight, and I'm not getting into the politics tonight, but I want to tell you something, neighbor, that you already know, that America is facing some very difficult and troublesome circumstances. It's all around about us. Now, as a Christian and a child of God, we're exhorted in the will of God that we're to pray for those that have lawful authority over us, and we need to pray that God would save all of the individuals and change them into a vessel that's meet for the service of God. But after all, they tell me that when William Jennings Bryan was given the go-ahead to run for president of the United States on the Democratic ticket, Some of the delegates that were at that convention were very disappointed because he was not well known. And because he was not well known, they felt like they were going to lose the election, and they were very fearful. And one sad delegate said to another as they were leaving the convention hall that particular day, asking a question, "Are you still a Democrat?" And the other one looked back and looked at him and said, "Yes, but very still." And you know, that's why I think is wrong with the church today. The church is still. We need to be vocal about what we believe and what the Word of God teaches. We don't want to be like that fella. We don't want to be still in time, but we need to speak forth as an individual, not as a member of a political party, but as an individual, as that young lady just the other day from California who lost the beauty crown and settled for second place for speaking her convictions and her faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. I don't know what church she went to. Firstly, if it had been my daughter, I'd just preferred she'd not ever been up there in a beauty contest in the first place. But nevertheless, this young lady was there, and she was very well moving up the ladder as far as that was concerned, and she was very well able to speak her conviction and her faith. I don't know who her pastor is, don't know what church she's from, but I think they ought to be proud of her, because at least she stood up and let her faith and convictions be known. Now, you know, we need to speak forth the Word of God. We are Americans, and we have that right. We're Americans by birth, but thank God we're Christians by choice. Nobody caused and forced us to be a child of God. We are there because we chose to choose Him. And there's a lot of things going on in this world that are troublesome. I picked up my grandson from his high school this afternoon and took him home. And as we were going there, he was kind of butting me up and told me he wanted a big red pop. And so I stopped and let him have that big red pop at the store that he wanted. And he said to me as he went in, he said, "You know, it wasn't me, but I was listening to some friends of mine speaking the English class this afternoon." And said one of us telling the other said that Christianity's in decline. He said, "Is that right? Is Christianity in decline?" I said, "I don't know for sure that I would say that Christianity's in decline." I said, "In this day in which we live, there's a lot of people that don't want their Christianity to be known. They want to be silent Christians. But let me ask you a question." He said, "All right." I said, "Which group of people would you want to be with? Would you want to be with some Christians who understand the will of God, and the Word of God says, love your neighbors and do good to them that spitefully use you? Or would you want to be with a group of individuals who said, if that person is a Christian and against our religion, kill him and do away with him? Which would you want to be with?" He said, "I think I'd be with those that don't want to kill anybody." Well, that's it, neighbor, but we just let the enemy come upon us and push us around, and we don't know just exactly the strength that we have to stand up against the things of the world. And I view the changing times around this world today, especially in spiritual matters. I'm just plain tired of many things that are going on. And to name a few of them, I would just say I'm tired of theological fads that come and go, that change like women's fashions. Those things that are here today, which immature Christians fall for, and they're carried away by every whim of the doctrine, and they don't know how to get into the Word of God and study it out. Thank God we've changed from the day and age when I was a kid and when I was a young people, a person coming up in the church, because in those early days that I remember in an Assembly of God church, we couldn't tell you what we believed. We didn't want to go the picture show because our pastor said don't go to the picture show. We didn't want to do smoke because our pastor said don't smoke. We couldn't give you any biblical reasons for it. We just knew the pastor said, don't do it, so we wouldn't do it. And very frankly, some of the things he told us not to do, we did. Because I liked to go see Gene Autry picture shows back then. And I'd go watch Gene Autry, and I'd come out of that movie house, and it would be hot, and I'd be thankful for the cool air that was in there, and I'd come around the marquee there, going down the sidewalk. I thought, well, nobody would see me. And every time I'd run into J.E. Enloe, he was out there, he was my pastor. Every time, not once, but just about every time, you just can't do wrong and get by. My older brother took up smoking cigarettes. And we went to church on Wednesday night, and one of the dear saints that knew us well got up in testimony service and said, folks, I think we ought to pray for Roy. I saw him smoking a cigarette. So you couldn't get by with anything. We had to know that God was on the throne, but those things began to teach us something that we couldn't pull the wheel over God's eye. He always knew where we were and what we were doing. I'm just tired of hootenanny religion is where I put. That's a band that pagans do not feel ashamed to join. They'll just join right on with it, and whatever's going on, they're going to go right on with it, and everything will be wonderful as far as they're concerned. I'm tired of all the tricks by which we try to make moral issues out of political projects. I'm just tired of bragging about how wise we are when we're gullible. And in the spiritual, we've bought more gold bricks and we've bought more white elephants than any generation before us. We just fall for anything that comes along. I know down in the valley when I was pastoring there, on one occasion, I had a young lady, actually, this young lady was a preacher's daughter from Minnesota. In fact, her father was one of the district officials up there. And she moved down to the valley to teach school. And they called ahead of time and said she needed a place to stay. Did we know anything that would help her? Well, I talked to my wife at that time. My first wife was still living. And I talked to her and I said, you know, we've got three girls here and we've got an extra bed there. Maybe we just let her come on in here and stay with us. So they said, all right. And we called and told her that's it. We met her at the airport and let her come and move into the house with us. And she stayed there for a month or two. And then all of a sudden she moved out of the house. Because she said she wanted to go to a different church. Well, I said, all right, why do you want to go to that church? She said, because they cast demons out down there. And I said, is that right? She said, yes. And I said, how do they do that? She said, well, they bring that individual that they feel that's demon-possessed, and they set him in a chair on the platform under those bright lights. And they put a bucket in front of them. And when they have that hot light upon them and over that bucket, they tell them just bend over and put the head almost in that bucket and come back and do that over and over and over again. And pretty soon they get nauseated. And when the nausea takes its course, that's the demon coming out. You see, that's what I'm talking about. Every slight wind of doctrine, if you're not careful, you can fall for those things. There's not a bit of truth to that. They just got sick at the stomach because of the heat and the motion. But I'm tired of those things. I'm tired of the new freedom that we know that's around us today that throws the Ten Commandments out the door and doesn't know the difference in love and lust. I'm tired of those things. The Bible still reads, as far as I'm concerned, thou shalt not commit adultery. But today we're in that situational ethics mode and a new morality. Maybe that's nothing but the a trick of the devil and allowed the devil to try to bring you down and get the victory over you. I'm tired of people calling sin sickness. Nobody is a liar, they're just an extrovert. Nobody is a murderer, they're just a victim of the circumstances around about us. But I'll tell you, really, the answer is all located in the Word of God, which we read a while ago in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 11, for no other foundation can anyone lay than which is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Oh, Jesus Christ is the answer. He is the sure foundation. And upon that rock of Jesus Christ, I think I want to stand and base my faith and my hope and my trust in Him. Because I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. I believe in the virgin birth. I believe the Word of God says that He was born to the virgin Mary. And I believe that's what happened. Otherwise, He'd be born out of wedlock, and I have no interest in a Savior like that. I stand upon the Word of God. I'm glad that the Word of God tells us in the Word of God in Matthew, the second chapter, about the message that was come to Mary and how Jesus was born. Oh, hallelujah. I believe that Jesus died for my sins. The Word of God, in the words of a psalm, says, what can wash away my sins? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can make me whole again? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Never. Some people say, I don't want a bloody religion, but I'm going to tell you one thing. You better have a bloody religion, because that's what's going to make you whiter than the driven snow, is the blood of Jesus as it washes away every sin of your heart and your life. I believe that Jesus died for my sins. I believe that He's still on the throne taking care of sins today. I'm telling you, there's no senator in the United States, senator or congressman that's in the Congress who will ever tell you the real problem of America. And the real problem of America is nothing in the world but sin. It's not finances, it's not bank, it's not this, it's not that and the other. It's just pure old sin coming short of the glory of God, because that's going to lead us quicker and more damage than anything else. Thirdly, I believe that Jesus rose from the grave. I believe He's alive today. I wouldn't want to serve a Savior that's a ghost. Would you? I don't want all these things that just simply say Jesus was a great individual that lived, but I worship Him because I know that I worship a living Savior. He's in the world today. And I believe that Jesus is coming back personally, and I believe He's coming back visibly, because when His followers gathered with Him outside of the gates, according to Acts chapter 1 and verse 11, that they saw Him disappear into the skies, and the angels came and said, "Ye men of Galilee, why stand ye here gazing? For this same Jesus will come again in like manner." And He's coming visibly. Every eye will see Him, and they will behold Him. And one of these days, when these individuals say, "Well, He's just a bit of your imagination. He's just something you don't have anything else to do," one of these days they're going to come to the conclusion that's not true, because their knee is going to bow, and they were going to worship Him as the Lord of Lords and King of Kings. Sometimes young people have some wild ideas. I wished I had been as smart back younger as I am now, and I hope tomorrow I'm smarter than I am today. But when I first pastored, I really did some humdinger of some things that I wished I hadn't done. But I remember one young lady who I had pastored at church 2 weeks, and her dad, who was the only man in the church, it was a big church, I didn't need a youth pastor, big church, he died. And they called me, and I went out to Brother Moore's house, and he had a three-year-old boy, I guess. He pulled on my trousers leg, and I looked down at him, and little Paul looked up and said, "Mister, can you tell me why God took my daddy?" I didn't have an answer for that. I just kind of patted him on the head, smiled at him the best I could. And they said, "You going to preach his funeral?" His wife did, and I said, "No, I don't think so. I don't even have any papers." You see how smart I was? So I called Brother Taylor, who was a presbyter and a good friend of mine, and I said, "Brother Taylor, I don't know what I'm going to do. This Brother Moore died, and they want me to preach your funeral. I don't have any papers." He laughed and said, "Son, just go ahead and preach the funeral. Said you can put them on the ground all you want to, just don't tie them together." And so I said, "All right." You know, and I preached that funeral. And we got in the car leading that funeral procession down to the cemetery in the neighboring town, which was Donna, 5 miles away. And the fellow that was with me, the good friend of Brother Pinson, I've never told him this, but he was with me, and I looked at him and I said, "You son, you've been here for a while in this area." And he said, "Yes." He said, I said, "I suppose you know where the cemetery is." He said, "No, I don't." And so here we are, in front of the hearse, going down the street with these cars behind us. And he said, "Well, then they'll be turned, they will turn right." And thank God we did. We made all the right turns and ended up at the right place. But God looks after us, neighbor. You learn to trust God in times like this. But God was there. But his oldest daughter, I didn't know what I started to say, told me one time, she said, "Now that Dad's gone, I don't intend to go to church anymore, because Mom made me go, and Dad made me go, and now Dad's gone, and Mom can't make me, and I'm just not going to go." And I said, "Anna, I'm going to tell you something. Mom may be able to make you go to church, but I'll tell you one thing, if you don't, and you miss out with God, and you end up lacking when it comes time to stand before the judgment bar, God's going to say, 'You need to depart from me. I never knew you.' And you're going to see the fires of hell, and you're going to say, 'I'm not going to go.' I said, 'I got news for you. You're going to go. You might say, 'Nobody's going to make me go, but they'll just pick you up and they'll escort you.' And you will." Well, it made an impression upon her. She straightened up. Anyway, Mama had been the right thing to do. But I did a lot of things back then that I shouldn't have done. But God forgave me. But I know that he's coming back. I know that Jesus is the answer to every problem that we have if we have faith. F-A-I-T-H. And you know simply what faith means? It just simply means, "For all I take him." He is able to meet every problem that I have. If I need finances, I take him as my financial partner. If I need healing, I take him as my doctor. If I need a peace with my neighbor, I take him as my peacemaker. Just whatever he needs, I take him, and he will take care of me, and we'll go through, because he's the answer. Well, there's some people that don't believe in hell, but neighbor, I believe in hell. You ought to read in Luke chapter 16 and read that story again about the rich man who died and lifted up his eyes in hell, being in torment. Neighbor, it's a place of torment. I believe it exists, and I don't want to go there. I don't even think about it all that much. I just believe in heaven as well as hell. And I like what those scripture says in the 14th chapter of John. Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. For in my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. And he said, I go to prepare a place for you. And I'm going to come again and receive you unto myself. And so, neighbor, we're going to go there today, this day. I heard some individuals talking over the news today about this is Earth Week or Earth Day. You know, they say we got to do this and that and the other. We got to get the environment all straightened up. In fact, they tell me I need to lose the weight because I weigh so much that when I walk, I'm generating heat in the air that takes care of some of the melting of the icebergs up north. Do you see about the wisdom of this world? It's foolishness. But they're worried about the environment. I got news for you. God doesn't need any help. He can take care of the environment. It's lasted for generations before us. And I don't know how long it's going to be before God decides he wants to take all of his saints home and end this thing up, but he's able to take care of it till then. And we don't have to worry about the environment here getting hotter and hotter. What they need to worry about is the environment in hell and get their heart and soul right with God, because the fires of hell are going to be not extinguished a bit. Gonna get stronger and stronger, and you don't want to go to that terrible place. God can take care of it. I saw when I ran into a young man that was doing some missionary work on the metro lines, and he has some little things that he gives out, and one of the little sayings that he has on that saying is, "Hello, I'm God." And is God talking to him? And he said, "Hello, I'm God. We're going to have some rough times today, but I'm going to take care of it, and I don't need any help from you." And that's right. God doesn't need any help from us in anything. He can take care of the situation. So we just need to move ourselves into the place where God can do a wonderful thing, because the environment of heaven is going to be great. There's going to be no decay, no violence, no sickness, none of these things. Now, you know, neighbor, I'm not making fun of anybody, but some fellow told me one time, and he had some sprinkles in his hand, looked like some of those things you buy, you know, when you put on sequins on dresses and things, and he said, "This is angel dust." I said, "Angel dust?" He said, "Yeah." He said, "It came off the streets of heaven. That's gold dust." I said, "Well, where did it come from off the streets of heaven?" He said, "My horse is running up and down there, knocked it up. And they have it." I said, "You know, maybe the horse is in heaven. I don't know." I said, "I know one thing, the Word of God says that there's going to be no contaminants in heaven. And dust, whether it's gold or dirt, is a contaminant. So I don't know, maybe it came from me or not, but I didn't get any of it, and I don't want to be where else to get it. But heaven is going to be a wonderful place. There's going to be nothing that'll contaminate or turn away, neighbor. It's going to be peace and tranquility in their place. The foundation of this earth may crumble, but upon the solid rock, Christ Jesus, we can stand and be sure and be secure, because we have faith and confidence in the man that stilled the waters of the Blue Galilee. We have faith and confidence in his Father, who through the Holy Spirit spoke this whole thing into existence and reached down into the dust of the earth and picked up a handful of that dust and fashioned the likeness of a man and breathed in our nostrils the breath of life, and we became a living soul. Neither he knows what he's doing. Let's not try to get so smart we can get ahead of him, but trust him and know that he's going to take care of us. Our Father, we thank you right now, Father, that we come together tonight for a few moments. Father, I pray that you'd take these words that I've spoken, Father, that I felt that you gave me. Father, let them be accepted in the right way, we pray, and do the work of the Spirit, we pray, Father. Let them fashion us and mold us and make us after thine own heart. Father, we're nothing in the world but just a handful of dust, as we said earlier. But Father, with your Spirit within us, we can do great, mighty, marvelous things. And I thank you, Father, for the travels that I've had. I thank you for the mountains that I've climbed. I thank you for the valleys that I've been down through. I thank you that you've been right there with me through every step of the way, guiding and directing and keeping me and helping me through those times that I made those terrible mistakes. I thank you, Father, that you're going to continue to move and bless and lead us forward and bless this church, bless this pastor, we pray. Bless Brother Durham, we pray. Heal that throat, Father, and let him be ready to preach on Sunday with vim and vigor, we pray, in the name of Jesus. Give him the message that we need for our heart, we pray. Father, bless his wife and his daughter, we pray, and his son as well in his ministry, and the other daughter that's in the northern part of the state. Bless them all, Father, and undergird and meet every need that they have. For we've asked these things in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen.